You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, on Twitter at RealGilbertACP, and on Instagram, Gilbert Podfried, PODFRIED. You see, it's kind of a pun on the last name. Never mind. This is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and this is another episode of Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
It is. You're getting better every week with that title.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to try out our theme song this
week. Oh, boy.
We're going to wrap the show with it. What do you think of that?
That could be something.
And you haven't heard it yet.
No.
So you're going to be surprised, just like our listeners are going to be surprised.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm going to set it up.
But that would mean that we have listeners. Yeah.
That would imply that we have actual listeners. Yes.
I don't know.
Well, at least one. Because a gentleman named John Murray, who's an old dear friend of mine, sent in a theme song for this show, for Amazing Colossal.
It doesn't count if you know him personally.
Well, you know, we're going to start with people we know. But we put it out there, and people have been generous and been sending them in. So at the end of this show, we'll set it up. But let's start with your movie, Mike.
Okay, this is a movie I hadn't heard about before. I just saw it recently.
I'm intrigued.
And I wasn't familiar with it. And I was just watching, and it's a movie you know. And the movie is The Little Fugitive.
Oh, yes.
Or Little Fugitive. I don't know if it's got the...
Yes, I saw it recently.
Little Fugitive.
Yeah, The Little Fugitive.
Yeah. And it's a film where it's I don't want to give too much away, but a little boy, most of it's non-actor. Mm-hmm.
I think they're all amateurs. Right.
And the plot basically is a little boy who believes he's killed his brother.
Correct.
And he has to escape from the police. And he escapes as far as Coney Island.
Isn't it because the brother is playing a prank on him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he... What the funny thing about this... It's available on Amazon Prime.
Great, good to know. Good information.
The funny thing about it is that most of the movie takes place in Coney Island. Mm-hmm. Now, I was born in Coney Island.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I knew you were born in Brooklyn, but you never told me where.
Yeah, well, I don't like to talk to you.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I can't stand when you talk during the show.
We can wrap this up now.
Yeah. So talking to you off the air, I really can do that.
So you're like Albie Singer.
Yes.
Born in the, like under the roller coaster.
And so I was born in Coney Island, and I lived above my father's hardware store.
That I do. yeah. from your book.
Yeah. my book, Rubber Balls and Liquor.
How many copies did that book sell, by the way?
Well, I think it's there is the second customer is considering
second printing.
Yeah.
What was the name of your dad's hardware store, by the way?
Gottfried's Hardware Store.
Amazing. Original.
Yeah. The majority of the film takes place in Coney Island. And so to me, looking at the old beach and the old stores and rides and clothes, it was like a home movie for me watching it. And most of it is the kid on the beach in Coney Island, like going on the rides,
right,
riding the horses and going around on the beach. And it sounds like, if you were to tell me that most of it's a kid on the beach, I would say, not in a billion years.
In black and white.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when I was watching the film, I remember thinking, I said, this film looks like a foreign film. It's an American film, but it looks like a foreign film. And what's interesting is Francois Truffaut.
Correct.
Was a big fan.
Yeah, as were other members of the French New Wave, very influenced by it.
Yeah, and they said they believe Little Fugitive started the French New Wave.
Fascinating. A film made by a Jewish couple living on the Upper West Side of
Manhattan. Yes, yes.
Right, right.
And I think the photographer in the movie is played by Will Lee, and he was... If I've got it right, was Mr. Hooper on Sesame Street.
Wow. Wow.
And the reason Mr. Hooper is so important to me on Sesame Street...
He touched you?
Yes. Well, that goes... I could only wish. There was one episode of Sesame Street that's a Christmas episode... And Mr. Hooper says to someone, "Oh, Merry Christmas," and they say, "And Happy Hanukkah, Mr. Hooper." So, meaning Mr. Hooper on Sesame Street was a Jew.
This is a scoop.
Yes.
Now, I believe The Little Fugitive, well, I should say that I had the pleasure of meeting and getting to know Boris Engel, who made The Little Fugitive. He's the father of a friend of ours, Andy Engel. Do you know Andy Engel? From Caroline's Comedy Club. And his mother was Ruth Orkin, a very famous photographer, a very, very famous black and white photographer. Look up her work. You'll recognize it. She's a very, very famous photograph taken, I guess, in Rome of a woman walking down a street and some Italian men eyeballing her. I can't remember the name of the photograph. Maybe it even has a name, but it's a very iconic photo, as many of her photos were. And they were friends with Stanley Kubrick, who was a photographer for Life magazine.
Wow.
At the time. Yeah. Yeah. And he worked... I'm fudging this, but Morris worked with Kubrick. I'm not sure if he shot for them, but they started in filmmaking together. Yeah, The Little Fugitive. Which was made on a shoestring, I think... I hope I have this right. Shot 16mm.
Yeah, it was shot with a home movie camera.
Yeah, maybe with a Bolex.
And it was like the sound and voices were dubbed in.
Right, right. It was made on a shoestring, and by Morris Engel and Ruth Orkin, and it influenced everybody from Truffaut to Martin Scorsese, who I saw talk about it. I saw Martin Scorsese introduce it a couple of years ago. I think it was at the New School or the Y. And then I saw it again recently, and it really holds up. But for you, it's home movies. And we talk about it all the time on the show about films that capture old New York. That one really does.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't he get on the subway at one point?
He's on the subway, he's on the horse rides. They go on the old parachute.
That's why
it was still there.
That's right.
I mean, they still have the structure.
Right.
I think too many people are getting stuck on there.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, I think someone in particular got stuck.
You remember all that stuff? All the original rides at Coney
Island? Oh, yeah, I remember There was Steeplechase.
Yeah, my mom talks about it.
And as I remember, there was a ride. You went on the Steeplechase ride. Was you were on these wooden horses that ran along a track, and they were like rushing along the track, and over the track you could look down and see a view of all of Coney Island.
That's cool.
And I think either getting on or off the ride, there were one of those belts that would go the opposite direction of the way you were walking. So you'd be trying
like
to run away.
Belt?
And I think there was a clown with a whip and an air thing blowing girls' skirts.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds right. I've heard this before. Yeah. Yeah. My family's from Brooklyn, too. I mean, my mom's from Flatbush and my dad is from East New York, and they had stories about Coney Island when I was a kid. But by the time I was, Coney Island was in disrepair. There was nothing left except the cyclone. And The Little Fugitive is a great snapshot of New York and Brooklyn in particular. And I hope I got my facts right, but you guys can do a little Googling. But Morris Engel and Stanley Kubrick were definitely collaborators on something. I can't remember what. A really original, offbeat film worth seeing. Very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Martin Scorsese introduced this?
Yeah, he did. And a couple of years ago, and I'm trying to remember where I was, and he was interviewed about it. And it was with an audience. Might have been the New School, maybe 10 years ago, in the city somewhere.
This one is in the New Fugitive, and it's been influenced in... On all the French cinema from Antoine Truffaut.
That's disturbing. Oh, The Little Fugitive. Check it out.
Yeah.
I can't believe you brought that up. See, we don't know each other's movies beforehand, so you really surprised me with that one.
That's because I don't talk to you.
That's because you don't talk to me. Hey, Gil.
Yes?
I know for a fact that there's only one thing you love better than hanging out at the 99-cent store.
Yes.
And that's actually making money.
Ah!
Is that true?
Yes.
Do I have the right guy?
Yes. Well, yes.
Here's a cool opportunity.
Please tell me.
Here's a way to do it, and that's driving with Uber, which, as you know, is the popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. In fact, you used Uber recently.
Yeah. Did you know? I was leaving the Friars Club.
After a free meal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, after a free meal, and because I found out the last living member had just died. So I was leaving the Friars Club, pouring rain outside.
Yes.
And so we couldn't get a cab, so we got in touch with Uber. And Uber, this is amazing too. It's not one of those things, those cars that go, oh, and nearby, we'll be there in this, and then you're waiting 3 hours. They show you on the screen exactly where the car is, and they tell you, you know, we'll be there in 5 minutes. And then you watch the car on your phone drive to where you are. It's amazing.
The truly amazing thing is that you knew how to work a phone. You knew how to work an iPhone.
Yeah, I don't know how to make calls on a phone. Yeah.
There's a learning curve. You'll get to that eventually. Here's the other thing about driving with Uber. They love being their own boss. They earn great money. It's easy to start. You just need a car and a license. And it's good for parents. It's good for students. Now is the time, the prime time, to cash in driving with Uber, and you will thank us. Right, Gil?
Yes. If I talk to you. Yeah, you'll thank us.
Because you're a star.
You'll send me a note.
You don't talk to the riffraff.
So, what are you waiting for? You have a car. You have a license. Put them both to good use and start earning serious, life-changing money today. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Visit drivewithuber.com.
What's the name of that website?
That's drivewithuber.com. drivewithuber.com. Don't ever interrupt me again.
I'm going to go 180 degrees to a recent movie. I think this is the most recent movie I've talked about from 2000 and... I'm sneaking out the DVD, which Gilbert is unaware of, but now he can see the front of it. 2004? Yeah, the movie is called Sideways. It's an Alexander Payne.
That was a porn film.
It was right. I did it sideways. You saw it recently.
I had seen it before, and I saw it again. It popped up on TV again. And I worked with one of the actors in there, Thomas Hayden Church.
Oh, on Wings.
Yeah, he right. used to be on Wings.
That's right. Funny guy. It's a terrific movie. I have a sentimental attachment to it because I think it's the first movie I saw with my girlfriend, Genevieve, who's now my wife. And I also
would think that's a reason never to see it.
Well, for her, she was traumatized by the experience. And I caught some of it on cable today. I caught the last 15 minutes. Paul Giamatti's acting in this movie. And I just wanted a couple of things about Paul Giamatti, who I love.
Yes.
Who's also in Saving Private Ryan, which I watched today because we were doing research.
Oh, wow.
We're doing a little research for our guest, Adam Goldberg, and Giamatti turns up in that. The range of this man that he played Pig Vomit on Howard Stern.
Oh, yes.
And Harvey Pekar, he played the cartoonist yes. in American Splendor. He's just quickly become my favorite actor. There's nothing he can't do. See this movie. I don't want to even describe too much about it because it's so slight. Yeah.
Now his father was a famous sports announcer.
His father was a commissioner of baseball.
Commissioner of baseball.
Bart Giamatti.
See, I know nothing about sports.
That's okay. You were in the ballpark.
I know that. Yes,
so
I was in the ballpark.
So to speak.
I know baseball players have very odd names.
Really? What kinds of
names? Yeah, well, it's who's on first, what's on second.
You know the players' names?
Yeah.
His father was not only the commissioner of baseball, but he famously banned Pete Rose. You know
wow.
that Pete Rose was banned. You do know that.
Yes.
He was banned for life and excluded from Hall of Fame consideration for gambling. And Bart Giamatti, his father, was the man behind that. Real quick, it's Paul Giamatti and Thomas Hayden Church. Both would be great guests for us, by the way.
Oh, yes.
They play Miles and Jack. They're two college buddies. Miles, Jack is getting married, the Thomas Hayden Church character, and they go on a tour of wine country. They go on sort of one last adventure together before Thomas Hayden Church's character gets married.
And Giamatti is like the more meek, stable one.
Yeah,
he's a two, and he knows about wine.
He's a wine expert, and he's an English teacher or a drama teacher who's a struggling playwright. And it's really a personal film it's hard to describe. There's not a lot of bells and whistles to it. It's just a character study, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's poignant, and the acting that Giamatti does is memorable. Also, shout out to Sandra Oh, the director's wife at the time, Alexander Payne, and Virginia Madsen.
Yes.
An underrated actress.
I think Virginia Madsen.
You're going to tell me when she took her clothes off.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do I know you? How well do I know you?
I believe I saw... She shows her tits in that Jacqueline Bisset movie, Class.
Oh, my. The one with Andrew McCarthy?
Yes.
I thought you
yes.
were going to say The Hot Spot, the one that with that Don Johnson directed.
Oh, was that with Jennifer...
excuse me, the one with Dennis Hopper.
Oh.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly. Yeah, that's the Jennifer
Connelly. Oh, are they the two girls on the beach?
Yes, I believe
so. Oh, that's a great scene.
Yeah, I misspoke. Dennis Hopper directed it. Don Johnson is the lead.
Yeah. There's a scene of Virginia Madsen and Jennifer Connelly lying topless on the beach.
This show's turning into Mr. Skin.
Yeah.
Yes, Virginia Madsen is fetching. I had the pleasure of interviewing Jim Taylor, Alexander Payne's co-writer on this movie, nice guy, good writer. I love Election, too, another movie they made.
With Matthew
Broderick and Reese Witherspoon, and their first film, which was called Citizen Ruth with Laura Dern. Check out their stuff. Alexander Payne, terrific filmmaker, made The Descendants with George Clooney.
Oh, yeah.
But this movie is my favorite of his. I really think it's a small masterpiece, and that's all I got.
Okay.
Any topless scenes in The Little Fugitive you want to...
At one point, the little boy takes his polo shirt off.
scandalous.
And Jared from the Subway ad...
Really?
...is the one who told me to see the movie.
And the sound you heard is the Colossal Podcast, Jumping the Shark. And now, to put a better taste in your mouth. Here's a theme song. We're going to cut to our theme song.
Okay, so the two films were...
Yes.
The Little Fugitive and Sideways.
And you couldn't get a bigger gap between those two films. And now check out our sample theme song from our wonderfully talented friend John Murray. Hope you like it.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.